You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
It's Christmas evening, and we're going to talk about something that I need you to know and hear, and we're going to talk about the story of his birth. We're going to talk about this stuff. We're going to talk about why I decided to throw hay all over the sanctuary and distract your children, okay, and make a mess everywhere. Look at this poor family. But listen, I want to talk to you about something that is really incredible, and it's God's perfect plan. God's perfect plan. Now, listen, how many of you guys like to make plans? Anyone in here a planner? Any planners in here? Good. The three of you guys are great people. Good for you guys. I'm proud of you. How many of you guys are not planners? Anyone in here not a planner? Yeah, and the rest of y'all are just nobodies. I get it. Okay, you don't, yeah. Yeah, check this out, man. A few Christmases ago, I'm going to talk about a plan I tried. I decided for Christmas, I was going to buy my wife the best Christmas present in the world. And I remember when I was a kid, my brother PJ had made this really crazy gift, and it was about, I don't know, about this tall. Maybe when I was a kid, it felt like it was this tall. It was about this tall, and it was round, and it had all these rectangles planted on it. And I saw that present. I remember having this anticipation going, man, I cannot wait to open that gift. And on Christmas Eve, my brother PJ would tell us, like, if you watch it long enough, it will move. Just keep watching it. It never moved. But we kept watching, and the next morning we woke up and we opened up, and it was tins of popcorn. And we're from a big family, so there's tons of popcorn, and we all got our own DVDs and movies, and it was so exciting. And now I'm married, and I have two kids. I'm thinking, I'm going to give that same experience to my wife. It was so fun. So I just thought, man, this is a great plan. And so I went to Best Buy and DVDs. If you don't know what DVDs were, they're these round discs that we used to play movies on them. And I went and bought all these DVDs for my wife, all these Disney movies I knew she liked, and all these cartoons she liked. And I bought them all. I wrapped them individually. And then I decided to buy her, I think, 15 tins of popcorn because I was recreating something I experienced. And so I put this tins of popcorn up, and I taped all this stuff on. And I was so excited Christmas Eve. And I told my wife, I said, man, this is going to be so, I'm so pumped about your Christmas gift. Have you guys ever tried to give someone a Christmas gift that you're excited about? Anyone in here? Yeah, man, I was pumped. She started opening it on Christmas morning, and you guys should have saw her face. Wow. Another DVD. And then another DVD, and she opened up the popcorn, and she goes, oh, wow. She said, what were you thinking? She literally said that to me. What were you thinking? I remember just telling her, like, oh, it was so fun, right? And I was, like, disappointed, and I just realized, like, man, my planning sucks, right? I had planned on one thing, an experience I had I thought was going to work out for my wife, who at the time was, like, 28 years old. And it didn't make any sense for me to do this thing. But I remember thinking, oh, man, and I don't know about you guys, but I have made so many plans in life, and they just ended up sucking. Has anyone ever had anything like that? You plan something, you think it's going to be amazing, and it just bombs. Anybody in here? Am I alone? Okay, thank God. I was really feeling insecure there for a second. Like, I don't, you guys need to tell me your secrets. Well, I want to talk about this perfect plan, because I you know, we set up this manger scene, right? And this isn't even close to what it looked like. This is way nicer. I mean, this is brand new treated wood, you know, for this trough. And this hay, man, we bought in bales, right? And this is a nice setup. And I used to look at Jesus in the manger, and I used to just think, what in the world? Why? Why would the God of all creation, the one who saved our lives, like, we're all here, by the way, because of our God. And now, why in the world would he be born in a manger? And for the longest time, I just thought, you know, he just wanted to be different. I didn't know what he was doing. He just was being born in a manger. And when I used to imagine a manger, I used to imagine this setup. And I would imagine a little hay bed and a baby wrapped up like any nativity scene you've ever seen. And I'd imagine Mary and Joseph out there, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I would skip all the birthing process in my mind. Has anyone had a kid before? Where my mom's at? Yeah, is that nuts, birthing process? That's a nice way of saying it. It is hell wrapped up into delivery, okay? That's what that is. And I remember just thinking, like, well, that was it. You know, this cute little scene, and there's the Star of Bethlehem, and these angels who showed up. I couldn't really figure out why until one day I'm reading the book of Micah. And if you have your Bible, you can put it up on the screen. This chapter in Micah, there's this prophecy. Check this out, man. This prophecy in Micah chapter 5. Out of the blue, the prophet Micah says, hundreds of years before Jesus ever shows up, he says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, I think is how you say it, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler, or maybe king is another word, or Lord in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And this one shall be peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land, and when he treads in our palaces, then we will rise against him, 7 shepherds and 8 princely men. I read that verse, and I'll be honest, when I first read it, I didn't get it. But as I was studying, I realized something. And this time, the city of Bethlehem, that little town we talk about every Christmas, it was known for the place that sacrificial lambs were raised up. And sacrificial lambs, what sacrificial lambs were, was in the Old Testament, the Lord said, hey, listen, every year what I want you to do as a nation, I want you to take a lamb, and that needs to be a perfect lamb. And I want you to look at it. It can't have any spots. It has to be perfect. And I want you to raise that lamb up, and then on a certain day, what I want you to do is I want you to kill that lamb and sacrifice it. And the priest of Israel would take that lamb, they'd sacrifice it, and they'd burn it to the Lord, and they'd eat it. And it was called Passover, and it was this big festival where all the sins of the people would be forgiven. Everybody's sins, like whatever you did, this was the moment. This was when the whole nation would be purified. And in Bethlehem, their job was to breed and raise these lambs. And so I would read that verse, and I had this understanding. Oh, the Lord's saying out of this one city, God's going to bring a king out of it. Now, I didn't have the full picture, and what I'm going to do, I'm just going to kind of unreveal this picture I had coming up, realizing that this God born in this perfect plan. So fast forward, we're in the town where sacrificial lambs are made. They're bred and they're treated, and if they have spots, they're dismissed. And if they don't have spots, they're sold to different people so they can make sacrifices so that their sins could be born. And in that time, we got this woman named Mary who's just this virgin girl who's about to be married to her husband. Crazy story. She's in labor. And this is what's crazy. She's in labor with God, who decides to become man for you and I. The most humble thing you could think of. The God of creation becoming his creation. But to get real crazy, the Lord leads them to a little town called Bethlehem. The sheep breeding area. The sacrificial lamb breeding zone. And they get to Bethlehem. And they go into an inn where she could have her labor and deliver a baby, which, by the way, could be hours of, like, intense pain. And not just for Mary, but for our Lord, for our Jesus, him too being squeezed out of a canal in a crazy miracle of a mess. And they get denied. And where do they end up going? To an animal trough, a place that isn't for men, a place for animals, a place for little lambs and goats and cows. In fact, the manger itself was known to be a trough, a feeding trough. And on that day that we celebrate on Christmas, on that day, it says that Mary delivered the baby. And I could just, I know this isn't a pretty scene, but it's a real scene. There's Mary and Joseph, and Mary, if you've never seen labor, I'm sorry, but Mary's screaming into the night. There is no epidurals at this time. How many of you guys are thankful for epidurals? I don't know, it's cool, man. No epidurals. Just a woman and a man in a dirty place meant for animals. and he's born. And I just imagine, because it must have been intense, and Joseph probably trained as a young man on how to deliver babies, because that was part of training for these guys. Delivers the baby, and they swallow him up. They lay him in a trough so Mary could rest, right? And here we got the God of creation, who was prophesied to be the great ruler in the book of Micah. And the other prophecies said, man, he's going to carry the government on his shoulder. This guy is a big deal. And he's born and laid down in an animal trough. And this is what gets me. The very first people to come visit him, God sends his angels to the very first people to come visit our God as man. You know who he gets? He doesn't bring the wise men first. Here's a little history lesson for you. The wise men don't show up for another 2 years. You know who he gets first? A bunch of people who heard those same lambs that they're breeding for sacrifices. Go get the shepherd boys. I could just imagine God in heaven looking at his son Jesus born and saying to his angels, go retrieve those who raised my sacrificial lambs. I want them to be the first visitors. So here's the setup. God is coming to redeem his people. He has this plan, this stinking perfect plan. And I'm going to be honest with you, I would not choose this plan. If I was God and I'm going to redeem my people and I was going to send a king down, I would imagine the way I would do it, I would probably send down like the super strong, handsome dude, right? And he would come down on earth and everyone would be wooed by him and he would become the king and he would redeem his people and he would carry the government on his shoulder. But no, God had a totally different way. I'm going to give my son as a lamb. And I'm not going to make it just metaphorically. I'm going to put him in the stinking same city that they're breeding all the other sacrificial lambs. I'm going to birth him not in some hotel, in some room, but I'm going to birth my son inside that manger with all the other animals. I need my people to see something. My son is coming for them to be redeemed. And then he says, the next thing I need is I need my shepherds. That blows my mind how intricate all this planning was, that Jesus was born in all this area. Why? Why in the world would God, the Father, send his son to be the sacrificial lamb like this? But then we get to the book of John, right? And John the Baptist sees Jesus walking, and what does he say? He says, behold, that's the lamb. That's the Lamb of God. That's my sacrifice that God's going to make for me. That's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's going to carry the government on his shoulders, the one who's going to come out of Bethlehem, who's going to be the Redeemer, and the one who is the ruler of us all. The Lamb. Okay, I want to just say this again. If I was planning this, that's not how I would do it. And I know my record of planning, okay? I've planned so many stinking things in my life. You know, like every girl I liked before I met my wife, I was planning on marrying. Is anyone else in here like that? I mean, seriously, I did. I was like, oh, this is the one. Like, immediately. Like, this is the one. I want to marry her. How many of you guys are so thankful you didn't marry your exes? Anyone in here? Yeah? For those who didn't raise your hand, that was, hey, watch yourself. You guys, I know some of you guys' marriages. Come on, man. I've planned things, but I still, in my own head, think that my plan is good. Like, I still do this. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was talking to one of my nieces last night. We were talking about Jesus, and we started talking. She has a whole plan. She says, man, I want to be married at 22. I don't want to have a kid for a year and a half, right? I'm thinking, good luck, man. That's a lot of control, right? You got this. And she's like, and then, you know, I'm probably going to go to college. I'm going to get a degree, but I want to be a mom, so I'm going to get the degree just in case, you know, and I could be, she wants to be a nurse. It's really an incredible plan. But I'm listening to this and going, man, I'm the same way. I'm planning my retirement, my legacy. I'm sitting here planning all this stuff. And I'm looking at God and I'm going, God, I like your way, but it doesn't seem like it's right. I like your plan, God. You say, give me your life and I will give you more abundantly, right? He said, man, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and I will take care of everything else. He says, man, delight in me and I will fulfill your heart's desires. And I like the sound of those ideas, but I don't like his plan. But this day, Christmas, reminds me that his plan is psychotic, but it works. I mean, this is insane. John proclaiming, hey, that's the Lamb of God. That's the one who was born in a manger in that same town in Bethlehem. This is the one. And then the story goes on. And you know the story. I mean, this is why the birth is so incredible to us. Our King, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but our King, the one that we worship, was born in a worse place than you've ever been. Our King was not treated well. I want you to know when he was born and 2 years later, when the wise men come, King Herod hears about it and he knows the prophecies about this Lord who's coming. And you know what King Herod does? He puts out a decree to kill all the 2-year-old and younger boys. He said, destroy them. We can't have this king. He'll take over my throne. Our King was born in this manger in a perfect plan to be the sacrificial lamb for us. The story gets crazier. In the time that they go and sacrifice that lamb, it's called Passover, right? We're going to fast forward a little bit. Jesus in his last days, he's having Passover. He breaks bread, feeds the disciples, says, this is my flesh. Every time you do this Passover celebration, do it in remembrance of me. Then he takes the cup and says, this is my blood, drink of it. And every time you do this in remembrance of me. Now, why that's significant, just really quick. The only other time God said, do this in remembrance, was the first time they sacrificed the lamb in Egypt, the Passover, if you know your scriptures. He says, every time you do Passover, do this in remembrance of what I did in Egypt. And all of a sudden, Jesus is going, I'm that new lamb. And he ends up, Jesus, who was born in a manger, our King. This is crazy. I hate this line. Our King, the only time he wears a crown, our Lord, the only time he wears a crown is a crown of thorns. That's the only time our King gets crowned. All through the scriptures, you don't see him wearing anything else, and his only crown is a crown of thorns. I'm not going to lie to you. If I was going to bring a king to this earth who's going to save us, this would not be my plan. I would not do that. This is mockery. This is blasphemous. They shove this on his head, spit on him. Look at that. It's the King of the Jews. There's your great ruler that Micah talked about. There's your great ruler. There's your king. But it was all part of the plan. Hanging on that cross. I love this. That time he hung on the cross was the same time that they were taking the sacrificial lambs that come from Bethlehem and they're sacrificing them. It's all on the same holiday as Jesus is hanging on the cross. That same time, everybody is sacrificing their lambs, taking the blood and pouring it to the side and taking the meat and remembering, oh God, he has saved us and forgiven us. And that same holiday, just hours later, Jesus Christ, our King, with a crown of thorns on a cross, being sacrificed for us. The reason why I want you to hear all of this today is that our Christmas story could sometimes become so, I don't know, redundant. You know, we put up our nativity scenes. I have one at my house. It's, you know, Mother Mary, you're right here, Joseph. Looking vague, you know, just over here looking at them. We have these wise men coming in, and it's this cute story. And we say this, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And can I just beat us all up a little bit? Like, Christmas is like the one day. Like, I'm so impressed that you guys are at church. I want you to know, like, I am so impressed that you guys are at church. Like, this is the one day that most people skip reading their Bible. This is like the one day, you know, you take the day off. This is a day about family and friends. That's not bad. I think those are all good things. We forget that what we're doing today is remembering that God's plans are perfect. He had put everything in play. And today, as we're celebrating his birth, we could see, like, God, you didn't just birth him in a manger to make a good story. You put him there because all along Jesus was the plan. His sacrifice was the plan. You set it up, God, so no one could miss it. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yes, God, it says in John 1 that he came and he was rejected by his creation. But Father, you planned that so that you and I could be redeemed by him. Yeah. His plan is perfect. Now, the reason why this is an amazing reminder, I feel bad throwing this in. I know this wasn't the one he wore, but I feel bad throwing it in there. You know why this is an amazing reminder? Because his plan is perfect for you. His plan is perfect for you. It's not just he did that for Jesus and it was one. God doesn't have a record of like, you know, a billion plans, you got one right. No, his plans are perfect. And I want to say this to you. Call me crazy, all right? Call me too Christian. But he has a purpose for you. If my God could set up the entire scene for Jesus, he could have Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem for a census, and while they're there, get rejected by an innkeeper so that he could be born in the same place as all the sacrificial lambs. He has a plan for you that is perfect. If our God could seriously have the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, where they're at the same city, they're observing these little sheep and saying, are they perfect? Are they perfect? I'm going to raise this one up. In that same city, he has destined, even where you're at today, he has a plan for you. If our God could raise up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to make it for 33 years and then on Passover, not any time other in the year, but on Passover, have him as the sacrifice, then where you're at today, he has a perfect plan in it. Our God isn't tiny. He's not a God who's far away. Scriptures in Job says, man, he's the one who makes the grass grow. Like, what? He's concerned with the ravens. Jesus says, man, he feeds all the ravens. He's the one who clothes the flowers in the field. He's not a faraway God. He's a God who's in your life, even when you don't know it. Actually, can I even go further? He says to the wicked, I let it rain on you. His plan in your life is perfect. Tonight, when we look at this manger, if I could sit with you guys, and we see this little scene, what we've seen a million times, we should be reminded that our God isn't careless. Our God isn't random. Our God isn't just out doing whatever. He has a plan and a purpose, and whatever he puts his hand to, he will accomplish. And that's in your life, and that's in everybody else's life. And you and I got to be people who say, oh, Jesus, I want your plan in my life. I'm done. My plans suck, man. God, you saw my Christmas present. You saw what I said about all those people. Father, my plan is terrible. I want your plan because I see, Father, I remember, God, every Christmas, you were perfect in it. Mary and Joseph had no idea that in that manger, you're making a statement, this is the Lamb. Mary and Joseph had no idea when they're going to that census, you're saying, this is the city where my lambs are prepared. While the Romans hung you on that cross, Father, no one had any idea, you're saying, this is my sacrifice for you, my people. His plans are perfect. Today, we're ending Christmas. I'm going to be honest with you. I told my team I'm not going to make them commit to this. But I realized what we should end Christmas every year with worshiping him. Don't you guys agree? Wouldn't that be, maybe we should do that. I'm not going to make you guys commit to it. You know, next Christmas might be traveling or whatever. But don't you feel like, man, what am I doing? We are living in a day of a miracle. Our King, the Son of God, born in a manger, signifying his perfect plan. I just need to say this last bit to you one more time. His plan for you is perfect. Sometimes we think to ourselves, man, why isn't things working out? Why aren't things working out? Some people are feeling like, you know, Mary and Joseph, I could imagine like, man, I had an angel tell me I'm birthing God. I can't even get into the inn. The Son of God is in me, and I'm out here in this nasty trough. And the only people who seem to care are a bunch of shepherds. And this is the King of Kings. I know there's people in this room who've looked at God and said, God, the plan you have for my life is sucking right now. I know that's a bad word. I'm sorry. It's stinking right now. There's kids in here. I can't say that. The plans you have for my life, God, it doesn't work out well. And the Lord's like saying, wait. Wait till I get through with it. You'll see that my plans are perfect for you. There's a great scripture. Well, actually, I'm not going to quote the scripture. You guys have so many scriptures. Know your word. He promises you. He promises you. I'll make your path straight. Come with me. My plan is perfect for you. But I want to end tonight saying one thing. The King of Kings, the one whose only crown was mockery. That's my king. That's what I want to end with tonight. That was my king born in a manger. That's the one who rules over my life. The one who was born in that old animal trough in Bethlehem. That's my king. The one who died on the cross and his only crown. I mean, could you just, the only crown the God of all creation wore. That's my king. And today I remember that his ways are better than my ways. And his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I'm giving him my life. The Christmas day is a reminder that I am his.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. Until next time, be blessed and go do the great things God has called you to do.